Now, without making our next guest seem like the oldest man in this building, and that's me, he's been involved in football, in the beautiful game, for well over 30 years. Chris Robinson is currently head of academy recruitment for Southampton Football Club, and he's written the most useful book on football and one of the best reads on football I've ever had the pleasure of going through. It's a great introduction to football and a guide to the evolution of styles of play. It tells you who's meant to do what on the pitch. It talks about all kinds of aspects of the game that are things that maybe we're aware of but haven't thought through. But above all, it is a user-friendly manual, a guide to the scouting game. And that's what it's called. An insider's guide to talent spotting football's next stars. Fantastically useful book. Lots of QR codes in it as well. So you can hear the man himself, Chris Robinson, explain more, which he's about to do now to me, Paul Austin, you guys on Talk Sports and on Talk. The book's The Scouting Game by Chris Robinson, published by Pitch, and it's out now. Good morning, Chris. Congratulations, matey. Are there things in this book that you look back on now and you think, maybe I shouldn't have lifted the lid on that particular aspect of what I do that kept some of the alchemy for yourself, if you like?
Well, I felt I had to open the lid on scouting because there's a lot of sort of a mystique about it. We talk about the dark arts of scouting, you know, it's sort of there's this sort of feeling that it's supposed to be this secret operation that goes on and a mysterious person arrives at the side of a pitch and takes a kid to stardom, you know, and I just felt we needed to open up and say, this is how it works. This is what we do. This is what the kids can expect. This is what parents can expect. And this is how you scout and find talent. Because no one seemed to me to be telling the truth from the inside, you know, about what happens every day.
And that's what's fascinating about the book. Also fascinating is the amount of effort and work, if you do the job properly, that scouts have to put in. I mean, you're talking routinely about, you know, being on call pretty much, you're having to answer emails that come in 24 hours a day and doing at least 60 hours a week if you're working properly as a scout.
Yeah, it's very unsocial. The football world generally, it's a small world. It's a silly world in many ways, which thinks it's exempt from other normal rules that apply. But it's certainly not a family-friendly world. So as you can imagine, you can't work those sort of hours and have your phone going all the hours that it does unless the people that you're living with will put up with it. You know.
You also have a very sobering reflection at the very start of the book, which is 99% of scouting, you say, is saying no to people. Yeah. And that must be the most difficult. I mean, there's a whole chapter on parents, which is, that's worth the price of the book alone, folks. The book's called The Scouting Game by Chris Robinson, published by Pitch. But of course, not all parents can take that well. And not all parents can actually hear, when you do it, the very detailed reasons you give if you're not taking a player on in an academy, for example.
Yeah, it's a tough part of the scouting business, because again, people imagine, well, you're just going out finding talent, you bring them in and everyone celebrates, you know. And of course, it's not like that, because, you know, I can go to 10 games and still not see someone that I'm interested in bringing in. And if you don't have that resilience, you don't have that stamina to do that, that emotional stamina, then you don't last in the game. And then similarly, as you say, it falls to me and people like me to be saying to the parents whose kids do come in on trial, probably, you know, 3 out of 4 of those, let's say, no, we're not going to sign you, you know. And I've seen kids, young kids at 10, 11, 12. I remember one boy when I was at Chelsea throwing himself around the room and I said that to him, you know. And it's a tough, and no matter how you deliver it, and I've really tried over the years to say in the find the best way that I can to say that, they only really hear the word no that's in there.
Well,
you know?
You just say in the book, quite touching, but when the parents of a lad you had said wasn't right for the club you were at then, quite a while after, sends you a letter thanking you for the advice you gave them, which managed to, they got him into another academy, I think, and managed to move his career on with the advice you'd given him, as you said, as you waved goodbye to him, if you like.
Yeah, and I do always try and be positive and help the kids who are not right for the club I'm at the time. They may well suit another club, you know, and I always want to try and help them find their way forward. It's not the end of the world if a kid doesn't get accepted at a trial. There's endless players who've had loads of trials and not been accepted, and then they find the one that does and they go on to success. So it's trying to paint that picture, but it's tough. It's elite sport, you know, and where there's elite sport, there's selection. And where there's selection, there's disappointment. So you have to live in that world as a scout and as a manager of scouts, or you can't do it and you pack it in, you know, frankly.
You could have called this book Zen and the Art of Scouting, because you've got to have a philosophical approach to it from the sound of it. Also, the question that I've been asked, when I said to people I was talking to you about this book, and one of my brothers who's got, you know, loves football, And one of his grandsons, you think, you know, they think he's, we all think our kith and kin have got talent, apart from with me. They stop being goal. But the question is, what are scouts looking for? What are you looking for? Which I suppose also means, what are you looking out for when you see somebody, maybe only for 90 minutes, or maybe you never leave games early because they might bring on a lad 15 minutes from the end and you might be the only scout who saw him, for example. But what are you looking for, Chris, when you're out there scouting?
Well, football's a simple game. It's all based around control, pass and move. We make it complicated so that people like me can earn a living out of it, I think. But it's a very simple game. So you look for those simple things, and particularly with the young kids. Now, our priority ages in most professional clubs to recruit kids is 7, 8, 9 years of age. Okay, that's the most important recruitment you do in an academy. And so at that age, you're looking, are they comfortable with the ball? Can they move?
Can I just cut in for a second? Kane, I'm afraid that means you are too old now to play for Southampton. You can't take you in the academy.
Well, it's 33, you know, too old for my first contract now, then, you reckon?
It's never too late. It's never too late, Kane. Don't give up, mate. There are people. There was a famous player called Tony Booker who only started playing professional at 29. And he won a football league.
But he had talent, though, didn't he?
I didn't mean to be flippant.
I shouldn't have cut in there. It's just we've been trying to support Kane through what has been a difficult season for his beloved Southampton. Yeah. I know you work with the club for the club, but you're not a Southampton fan, I think, are you? So there's also a couple of handy things. And what I love about this book is it's very much if scouting was a car, it'd be a car manual, this book, as well as being very entertaining. And you say it's very important to assess how quick players are over 3 metres or 3 yards and 30.
Yes, because there's not that many sprints in a game of football where you're doing 30 metres. So if we just tested kids how quick they are over 30, it's all got to be relevant to the game. But there's loads of little sprints to win the ball or to go past someone over 3 to 5 metres. And that is the key. That's the key in terms of pace, that change of pace, that first initial burst. Have they got that? Because that changes their game. So, again, that's what you're looking for. You know, you're looking for the kid who can just get away from someone or just catch someone from the physical side of it.
And the other thing in the book is about the diplomacy needed at all levels. Because you say the scout would spot people wouldn't necessarily be involved in the direct recruitment or dealing with the parents early. After the initial, when they're approaching signing for the club. But I'm wondering as well whether there's a time when, as a scout, you must be thinking, you see your team or the team you're working with or for get beaten, or you see their vulnerabilities and weaknesses, and maybe nobody has had the courage or the insight to tell the manager or coach about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, as a scout, you go and find the talent. You do your reports, which is your product as a scout often, and then you pass out the line and it goes to the recruitment managers. And you've got to get used to the fact that it's a matter of opinions. It's a game of opinions is the cliche, but that's true. Some people get paid for their opinions, like I do, I suppose. Yeah. And so you pass it up someone else's opinion, up to someone else's opinion. Now, if they're a good manager of people, like in any walk of life, they'll explain to you what the criteria is that they by which they make their decisions. But sometimes it can be a thankless task.
And also, it's a bit like being, without being too kind of over the top, it's about almost an undercover agent at times, because you've got to gather information from all kinds of sources. You reference at one point in the book there was a very good journal at the Brighton Evening Argus, who you could, if you couldn't get across to everything, you might get information from his reports, for example. So it's very important to be, I suppose, to listen to the tribal messages that football sends out sometimes.
Absolutely, and as you can imagine now in the social media world, there is a mass of those tribal messages. So it's a question of now of being selective where you take your gossip from, because it's all gossip. Scouts love to gossip. You know, you get three. If there was a collective noun for scouts, it should be a gossip of scouts.
And if it's a favourite repast for the book, it'd be stewed tea and stale biscuits.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and so you have to get used to that as well, of course. And if you just go to lots of tournaments, which is this time of year, loads of local tournaments, I'm going to one local to me on Saturday, actually, going back to doing a bit of grassroots scouting in a local tournament to me. If you go along to them, the usual bill of fare is burgers, isn't it? And so I could spend my life eating burgers, which my wife will occasionally thinks I do that, but
you spoiled that woman. You treated her an Indian in Billingshurst before you saw an under-11s game or something not so long ago.
That's right. Yeah, you see, I know how to show a woman a good time, and We had a night out watching an FA Youth Cup game, actually, it was at Billingshurst.
All right.
I mean, what more could you want, you know?
Sleep of the dream, she is. And now there's QR codes at the end of every chapter, and so people can find out more about the ins and outs, the intricacies of what you're talking about. And also, alongside this book, you started a fascinating sad new project, have you not, Chris? Can you tell us a bit about the scouting game in the world of almost, I suppose, course, online courses, would it be?
Well, what it is between me working for Chelsea and starting at Southampton, I had a three-month break. I had to have a three-month break because of my contract. And we've been asked for so many questions over social media, mostly from parents saying, is my kid any good?
Yeah.
Who's going to tell me what my kid should do, strengths and weaknesses? That my wife, because she's the brains of the family, said, look, there's a business here. Let's set this business up. So we did. We set the scouting game up as a business. And now we do assessments of players from age 7 upwards, up to Champions League players, actually, all around the world. And we've got a team that works on it. And so if a parent wants to know, how good is my kid? We would give them a 12-page detailed breakdown of the kid's game, strengths, weaknesses, what they need to work on next. And there's nobody else that does that. You know, they can't get that from, even if we get kids who are in academies, whose parents ask us to do it, because you don't get that independent view from anywhere else. And so that's gone really, really well.
When I got the book, I read the book, then I looked up online and I read about this and I thought, this is an idea whose time has come, because you can get, I mean, you know, if people want to go into the world of acting or broadcasting or journalism, you can go on kind of crash courses for that and you might get a few pointers and tips and hints. But what they can't do is kind of really assess what you've learned so far, because in most professions you've learned nothing. Which, as you said, if a kid's good at football, male or boy or girl, and the parents are interested and invested in him, then actually he'll be playing for 5 or 6 years by the time they might get onto you for tips and hints and pointers.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, you've got to be able to reference any age, a kid of 7, a kid of 11, 15, 16, 18, 20, whatever levels they are, to know where they fit into the whole sort of food chain, if I can call it that, of football, you know, the whole pyramid of football.
Yeah.
And so you need to have the experience. So when people say that they can do it, they need to have worked in those different levels and different ages. Otherwise, they've got no reference point, you know, they've got no context. And so fortunately, as you say, being a very old man and having worked in this business a long time, I've done all that range of stuff. So hopefully that's what we try and bring to bear and help kids and parents find their way forward to whatever level they want to get to, you know?
It's a user-friendly book. It reads like a very entertaining manual, if that makes kind of sense. So it's not the bare bones of just Chris giving you pointers, but it's also very discreet. And I wonder, Chris, whether you've got another book in you which will tell us about the ones that got away, the ones you spotted, some of the more, should we say, not I don't think the dark arts any nefarious way, but some of the kind of more gossipy side of things you make. Because, you know, it's not just football scouts that love a gossip.
No, that's true. I was watching an England game once on TV and one of my sons phoned me up and dad and said, Dad, you do realise there's 3 players playing for England that you said no to. So, I perhaps shouldn't say that in relation to trying to convince people how knowledgeable I am when you think happening.
Well, as Elon Musk says, we learn more from failures than we do from success.
Well, in that case, I should be a genius then, because as a scout, you get lots of things wrong, you know, because I remember watching Jadon Sancho at 14, and I was working for Chelsea at the time, and I didn't think he was good enough for Chelsea. He went to Man City from Watford, and he's gone on a fantastic career back and ended up at Chelsea. So, in a sense, you can say, well, did I get that one wrong? But at the time, a kid at 14 is very different from the man at 22, you know, and it's very difficult to know how kids are going to develop and how things are going to change. So, again, as a scout, if you're going to last in the game, you have to accept that sometimes some will come to bite you on the backside sort of thing, you know.
Chris, all roads lead to Southampton on this show, and of course you were...
Only because of him. I'm a West Ham fan.
Well, you're outnumbered this morning, probably, because
he's
Chris
a Chelsea fan. Don't drag
Mary's
into your
now.
Personal tragedy.
May I ask, you mentioned that scouting is a lot of word of mouth and gossip, and our club fell to the ultimate bit of gossip when we signed Ali Deer, the cousin of George Weah, but under Graham Souness. Did that help the world of scouting in terms of them not going so much on word of mouth?
It happened at a perfect time, didn't it, before there was instant access to all players' biographies, I suppose.
Well, there's lots of stories, isn't there? I mean, Harry Redknapp tells a story about signing the wrong player as well. So I always say that it's those bloody managers. They don't listen to the scouts. And of course, I used to be a manager, but I don't suppose I listened very much then. But it's not the scouts who get that wrong. It's the managers who jump in, which sometimes happen. But hopefully we get the names right and we get their background right and do all our due diligence on their background now. So, of course, we're far too professional to do that sort of thing now.
And we should clear up something else for my other brother, Miles, that you are Chris Robinson, yes, but you're not the Chris Robinson who's the lead singer of that fine American rock band, The Black Crowes, are you? You don't moonlight as that.
Oh, well, I'd like to say I was, and I'd like to say I wasn't as Kate Hudson as well, but sadly, you're right, that is another Chris Robinson.
Well, this Chris Robinson is much better for us because he's the author of The Scouting Game, which is also, as I said, a kind of online assessment course and service. So if you Google that, you get the details on that. The book is out now from Pitch. Great read, folks. It's subtitled An Insider's Guide to Talent Spotting Football's Next Stars. It's that and more. And Chris Robinson was our special guest this morning on Talk Sport and Sport. And his book is the Sporting Book of the Week. Cheers, Matey.